It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
When the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, or the millennium, as we have been studying, the millennium is the eighth dispensation. We read about this in the Bible. Well, when the kingdom comes, certain things are going to happen. And we've looked at some of those things, but one of the things I would like for us to see now is that Satan will not be around to cause trouble. He's going to be put in prison. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3 says this, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." Well, the devil is going to be in chains. He's going to be put in prison. He's going to be there for 1,000 years. And this is why the kingdom age is often called the millennium. This word simply means period of 1,000 years. That's 1,000 years. But it's also going to be a period of peace, because the King of Peace is going to be ruling. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we see that Satan is going to be bound, and that people who have given their lives for the cause of Christ, they're going to reign with Christ during the millennium, especially those that we read of that come through the tribulation period. Now notice this, the barren lands of this world will become fruitful. We often think of dust storms and droughts and even too much rain, but at that time the land is going to be a lot different. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 15 says, "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest." In other words, there will be no more desert as such. Everything's going to be so that things can grow. It's going to be fruitful. No more desert. No more wilderness. Everything is going to be beautiful. And this new look is also described in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 and 2. You see, the desert is going to blossom and bloom. And it's necessary to have plenty of water, and God's going to provide plenty of water for the deserts. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 and 2. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly, and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." Well, once again, things are going to be a lot different. Isaiah 35 and verses 6 and 7 says this, "Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation," that's desert, "of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Well, the things that normally make up the desert, there'll be no desert there in the kingdom. So everything's going to be beautiful. I believe it may go back to the Garden of Eden. And of course, I believe specifically during eternity that we study as well, it's going to go back, I believe, just like the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve was upon this earth, and I believe it's going to be a beautiful place. Well, notice this, if you would. A sickness and disease will be cured. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven for their iniquity. Well, people have been saved the same way throughout every dispensation, and that's by the grace of God. That's by calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. And I believe it's going to be the same way in the millennium. You know, I've taught this, and it is true that only saved people is going to enter the millennium. But when they enter the millennium, there will be births. Babies will be born. And it will be the same as you and I had to make a decision when we came to the edge of accountability, that those babies born during the millennium, they will also have to make a decision whether to trust Christ as Savior or to reject Him. People have been saved the same way throughout every dispensation, and it's not going to be any different in the dispensation of the millennium. Well, Isaiah 29:18 says, In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. People will have no excuse to not know the Lord, because He is going to be the King, He's going to be the ruler, but still yet, the book. What book is it speaking of in Isaiah 29:18? Well, it's speaking of the Bible, of course. The Bible will be there, the eyes will be opened, so that the people can see what the book says. Now, we know that today faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when we study and read the Word of God, we're seeing how God saves people and why He saves people. And for the saved person, it brings peace to our souls. In other words, it just calms us, letting us know that the good things are yet to come, and we're going to be with the Lord very soon. Well, something else takes place, and that's saved people will live forever. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20. Now, in this verse, the kingdom is described. Notice Isaiah 65 and verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Now, we've spoken of this earlier, but this verse speaks of a child who will be 100 years old. Now, people living in the kingdom will live on and on. And during the kingdom age, Jesus Christ will sometimes punish sinners with the death penalty. Isaiah 65:20, as we just read, speaks of that. A child 100 years old is a sinner that is described as a sinner, disobedient to Jesus, shall die. Accursed. Now, if people follow Christ's laws and do not get into trouble with the king, they will live on and on. And most will live through the entire kingdom age and will be older than Methuselah. 969 years old is how old he was. And you can read Genesis chapter 5 and verse 27 to read more about Methuselah there. That 969 years. And that is a time to look forward to. I do not believe we'll show our age. Well, we won't, because living right now, you and I who are saved, we're going to go up to be with the Lord. We're going to receive a new body. We're not going to show age, of course. And those people who are born during the kingdom age, the Bible teaches us that they're not going to show their age. They're going to live on and on and on. Well, there will be a change in the nature of animals. The amazing change in the nature of animals as we look into the Word of God is described in Isaiah chapter 11. Notice as we read verse 6 through 9. It says there, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall be led, shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And then we read in Isaiah 65 and verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Well, even the animal kingdom will be changed in the millennium. It'll be changed for the better. And prior to the kingdom age, there never was a time in history of the world where animals were vegetarians and none of them flesh eaters. The answer, of course, is yes, that there was a time. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 30, it says, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So there was a time, yes, when animals were vegetarians, and there's going to be a time again when they become vegetarians. Right now, they're meat eaters. And that time coming is the kingdom, when they will become vegetarians once again. Well, there's something that takes place here, and there are certain people who believe that we are living in the kingdom age today. Look around. I don't see that. There are those who say that the church is the kingdom, and the kingdom is the church. Well, this cannot be so. We've just read and studied 10 things, and if you've looked at and listened to other lessons that we've gone through up to this point, 10 things the Bible says will be true during the kingdom age, and not one of these 10 things is true today. It's not happened yet. All of these things will be literally fulfilled in the future when Jesus Christ is on the throne of this earth. Well, the grace of God will be seen during the kingdom age, and the king will still bear the marks of his death, reminding people of his gracious sacrifice for the sin of mankind. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6 it says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Well, notice John chapter 20, verses 25 and 27. It says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails. Now this is old doubting Thomas. He said he wouldn't believe unless he saw the print in his hands. And put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and hold my hands and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Believe Jesus wants to save you today, because he will and he does. He wants to save you. Call upon him today. Trust him right now as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.